Please forgive my frailties in this presentation. I am in particularly poor health, and today is a bad day. Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vrishnaya Udare Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Idinare Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Vrijarne Nirvashesha Shunyavari Pashcharyadi Shatarne. Dear Guru Prabhupada, please accept my most humble and prostrated obeisances in the dust of your lotus feet. Vyas Puja is a day on which Vaishnavas give special attention to the glorification of their spiritual master. The representative of Śrīla Vyāsadeva. On this occasion of your divine appearance, I would like to describe some of my personal experiences of your extraordinary qualities, both for your pleasure and for the benefit of those who perhaps did not get the chance to be in your bodily presence. Okay. Daily we sing Śrī Guru Karuna Sindhu. I can manage it. Thank you. Spiritual master is an ocean of mercy. In my experience of Śrīla Prabhupāda, he embodied this quality to a very extraordinary extent. Śrīla Prabhupāda always displayed a remarkable sense of urgency about the matter of preaching Krishna consciousness. He was extremely concerned for the welfare of the fallen conditioned souls. For him, it was a matter of life and death. He saw the plight of the living entities in their fallen state, helplessly entangled in the material network and suffering terribly. Śrīla Prabhupāda's sense of urgency was such that he would forego all other considerations for the sake of making Krishna consciousness available to others. And everyone is familiar with the life of Śrīla Prabhupāda and his dedication to propagating Krishna consciousness. So many extraordinary activities, but I got to see personally that in the course of a day, there was never a moment that he wasted. Every moment he was constantly preaching. Whoever was present, he would speak to. It didn't matter who it was, anyone at all. If there was anyone nearby, he would immediately begin to speak something about Krishna consciousness, and he would do it with extraordinary expertise. He was very expert at assessing the condition of an individual and understood precisely how to deliver the message of Krishna consciousness to them most effectively. And that meant that sometimes sweetness was required, and sometimes chastisement was required. It was not all sweetness and light with Śrīla Prabhupāda. For those who needed it, when they would benefit most by the powerful and memorable impact of a strong chastisement, Śrīla Prabhupāda would deliver that with equal expertise, scathing chastisements that would at times reduce grown men to a quivering mess of tears. Devastating chastisements. And at other times he was extraordinarily sweet. He could make an individual feel very comfortable who might be uncomfortable. To be in Śrīla Prabhupāda's presence for many of us was, it was very awesome and difficult. Srila Prabhupada had a way of making people feel comfortable, and it was possible to relate to him in a friendly manner. He would encourage us, he would offer encouragement when that was appropriate, and at other times he would be quite heavy. But whatever was effective for the purpose of helping us to advance in Krishna consciousness. In my case, I guess what I needed to hear was some chastisement. So, although Srila Prabhupada generally did not chastise me directly, the circumstances were such that I always happened to be around when Srila Prabhupada delivered a heavy chastisement. So I got the indirect benefit of that. In at least one case, I'm quite sure that it really was intended for me, but he, I think, felt that I was not really able to handle it, so he delivered it to the next person who came along. So Srila Prabhupada preached tirelessly. And when I say tirelessly, some of you have heard my descriptions of the extent to which Srila Prabhupada sacrificed for the sake of preaching. I see a number of new faces here who may not have heard those accounts. It's worth repeating. My service for a time and throughout most of 1976 and into 77 was to watch Srila Prabhupada's room mostly at night and just to serve as a general gopher. So I got to see Srila Prabhupada's activities during the time of day when all the other devotees were generally asleep. And what I saw for an entire year, more than a year, from the first day that I began the service, was that contrary to Hari Sari's accounts of Srila Prabhupada's daily schedule, he was not resting at night at all. As soon as Hari Sari went to take rest after setting up Srila Prabhupada's desk with all of his necessities for his night's work, transcribing, dictating, Srila Prabhupada would immediately begin work. There was no rest period. He had usually a darshan in the evening, and then afterwards he would lie down to rest. And when I say rest, I mean he was not sleeping. I could hear him chanting japa during that time. And I should say, didn't actually hear him chanting the holy names because he chanted silently, but you could hear his beat. He would rattle his bead bag, he would shake his bead bag while he chanted vigorously, and you could hear the beads knocking together, but he was chanting, but silently to save his energy. But immediately, as soon as Hari Sari finished and left the room, Srila Prabhupada immediately got up and sat at his desk and began his transcription. The account of Hari Sari is that Srila Prabhupada was resting at utmost an hour or two during the day. He will also tell you that there were times when he didn't do that during the day, and I was there at night, and I know that he didn't sleep a wink at night. I am aware of only one occasion in Hyderabad between the hours of 4 and 5 a.m. He laid down. He stopped his dictation and laid down and turned the light out for 1 hour. And that was a time when he was extremely ill. He was very seriously ill. His activities always began promptly at 5 a.m. Hari Sari would come in, and then there would just be an endless stream of sannyasis, GBC men, and other activities throughout the balance of the day. So Srila Prabhupada was preaching rigorously, starting promptly at 5 a.m. In all cases. So he, for more than a year that I did that service, I never saw Srila Prabhupada sleep at all at night. And I'm not aware of him. I don't know the extent to which he rested during the day. I suspect at that time he was also chanting his japa, because that was pretty much, you know, the only period of time that he had for japa. So I imagine that he would, when he rested during that time, that was also his japa period. There was an occasion in Hyderabad, beginning with the opening of the temple. Srila Prabhupada was preaching to a great number of dignitaries that had been invited by Mahamsa Swami. And there were also a number of South Indian Brahmins, some VIPs in the Vaishnava world from the Tirupati temple. So he was very busy preaching to those individuals. Preached throughout the day, and 5 days consecutively he preached nonstop and never rested during the day or at night. So we know that there was at least that occasion, 5 days consecutively, confirmed by Harisari. Srila Prabhupada didn't rest at all during the day, never lay down, never rested, and I was there during the night, he didn't rest during the night. So we know five consecutive days of non-stop sleep. Now, some of you may be aware that sleep deprivation is a method of torture employed by the CIA and some other governments sometimes to try to extract information from individuals or modify their behavior psychologically. They may deny someone sleep for several days or even a week, or some cases as much as 2 weeks. Terrible torture. People protest against these things, very inhumane. Srila Prabhupada voluntarily would forego sleep, and he did for a long period of time. But what is that verse from the
Mitra
right. Right. The Six Goswamis. Do you remember the translation? It's described in the Goswami Ashtika how the Goswamis would forego sleep. They ate almost nothing, and they gave up sleeping. Right. So this was Srila Prabhupada. His activities were dedicated to the service of his spiritual master, and to rescuing the fallen conditioned souls. Now, in spite of working so very hard, Srila Prabhupada didn't show any sign of fatigue. He was always extremely energetic. It didn't seem to affect his cognitive functions or his capacity in any way. It was not adversely affected. He was sharp as a tack all the time, and always preaching expertly and with tremendous energy. And he managed to still find time for his disciples, whom he had great affection for. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would inquire of his disciples, are you happy? How are you doing? And he wanted to know how they were doing. And he'd like to hear, you know, since taking the Krishna consciousness, how are you finding this? Are you happy? Because we came to him in a very unhappy state, miserable, pitiable condition. And the devotees, of course, would always report that we are very happy, very, very happy. But Srila Prabhupada took a personal interest in each and every devotee as far as was possible. It was not just business-like. He would establish very personal relationships with devotees. And devotees would take a great deal of pleasure in developing their relationship with him. I remember having the association of a devotee named Shankadas Brahmachari. He had, he taught me a bunch of things, helped me in, with my service to Srila Prabhupada. I was doing various little services, thinking Srila Prabhupada's and he was very expert at this. And to the extent that when Srila Prabhupada visited a particular temple, he could tell by symptoms whether or not Shankadas was there. He would recognize Shankadas' service. There are some accounts of Shankadas used to always offer Srila Prabhupada a flower garland when he came to a particular temple. And on one occasion, Srila Prabhupada came. Shankar was otherwise engaged, couldn't offer Srila Prabhupada the temple, but he had a particular way of doing the flower garlands. And so he offered the garland to another devotee to give to Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada received that, he looked at the garland and then immediately began looking here and there, you know, where Shankadas, who at that time was coming down the stairway. He saw him and noted him. He immediately recognized Shankadas' service. So there were opportunities to develop a very personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada, and he was attentive to the extent that he developed very personal interactions with individual devotees. Okay. All right. They're giving me the book. I have to wrap it up. Cut this short. I'll give one quick example of Srila Prabhupada's interest in the welfare of the devotees. Some recollections came to me, and I was speaking to Jai Vakaswami the other day and telling him some of my experiences. At one point, I was very ill in my work, and I had been taken to the infirmary there and was lying on a gurney for a long period of time. I could not go to the temple to hear class each day, and Srila Prabhupada was concerned for me, and so each day in the morning during his morning walk, he, along with his entourage of many sannyasis and devotees, he would stop next to my gurney and he would stand there and he would speak for some time. He'd be the equivalent of a Bhagavatam class. He would speak while he stood next to me, so I had an opportunity to hear every day. Got a bunch of valuable experiences and instructions from that. And I also got to witness another heavy chastisement, two chastisements, due to lack of cleanliness that he saw. And I think it was on that occasion that he said, and remember this, he said, if you are unclean, God is a million miles away. If you are unclean, God is a million miles away. Cleanliness, very important. Peter Brown stressed that all the time. One occasion he blasted us for uncleanness, saying, you're very puffed up. You're very puffed up. You're very puffed up. You think you are devotees, but you are not devotees. This God is a legend. You think you are devotees, but you are this God is a legend. You are trying to become devotees. So sometimes we got blasted, but no disciple ever questioned if you were brought on. Loved his disciples very much. He's never malicious, but always for our benefit that we got chastised. So, all right, the hook is, here's Srila Prabhupada, I am fallen and useless. Give it. Hare. Given all your mercy and blessings on me, I should certainly have amounted to something substantially more. But alas, I'm foolish and ass-like. Throwing myself prostrate in the dust of your lotus feet, with straw and teeth and tearful eyes, I beg you repeatedly, please, please, Shiva Prabhupada, please don't kick me away. Chastise me severely, but please allow me to have your association and remain always in your devotional service. Hare Krishna.